Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, since the beginning of the year, we have been following Jesus with Matthew. And we have followed Jesus with Matthew from his birth through his life, and we've reached the point in the gospel where we're going to see the death of Jesus. And that really leads us to what I'm going to talk about today. 3 days that changed the world. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Jesus died on Friday. All of creation waited on Saturday. And Jesus arose on Sunday. We spend most of our time talking about Friday and talking about Sunday. We spend most of our time living through Saturday. And so let's talk a little bit more today about what life is like through Saturday. Well, Friday was the darkest day when sin did its worst and the Son of God died on a cross. Sunday was the brightest day when God did his best and the Son of God rose from the grave. But what about Saturday? Saturday is the day in between. The day between despair and joy. The day between confusion and clarity. The day between bad news and good news. The day between darkness and light. Saturday is the day after, but it's also the day before. It's the day after the prayer is asked, but it's the day before the prayer is answered. Saturday is the day after the soul gets crushed, but the day before the soul is lifted up. Saturday is the day after sin, but the day before repentance. The day after death, but the day before life. And at the heart of history are these 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And again, Friday and Sunday, they're written about, they're talked about, they're preached about, they're sung about. But what about Saturday? Saturday was a day of silence. Saturday was a day of waiting. Friday was a really full day for everyone involved, especially for Jesus, but also for the disciples, the chief priests, the soldiers, for Pilate. Friday was a very full day, and you can read from Matthew chapter 26 and 27 about the supper and the prayers, about the betrayal and the flight, the trials, the beatings, the humiliation, the pain, and the crucifixion and death of our dear Lord Jesus. That's how Friday was spent. But today I want to talk about Saturday. Saturday was the Sabbath. It was the day of rest. And the disciples badly needed rest on that particular Saturday. They had not had a good night's sleep since Wednesday. Thursday night and into Friday morning, they were in the garden with Jesus. And they were so tired that while Jesus was praying and asking them to pray, they were falling asleep. And then after everything that happened Friday, they were exhausted. And so I imagine that on Saturday, they needed rest and they needed some sleep. The city was also quiet and resting that day, the city of Jerusalem. The crowds that had been clamoring for the death of Jesus, that had been shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him," they were observing the Sabbath on this day as well. And so in an upper room, the disciples gathered, bleary-eyed, confused, sad, distraught. And in their minds, I imagine that they went over and over what had happened on Friday. And although no one wanted to say it, I also imagine that the unspoken sentiment was that Jesus had failed, that nothing had turned out the way it was supposed to. And I imagine that they asked the question, how could we have been so foolish? And how could he have been so wrong? So they spent Saturday most likely reliving Friday. And on that Saturday, reliving what seemed to be the failure of Jesus. Reliving their own failure. Judas, who betrayed the master with a kiss. Peter, who denied his Lord 3 times. The rest of the disciples running away into the night. One even running out of his clothes to get away from a soldier. That's how the disciples spent Saturday, resting and reliving. One question I want to ask is, why was there a Saturday anyway? If God already knew that he was going to raise Jesus from the dead, why even have a Saturday? Why not get on with it? Why wait 3 days? And I do not pretend in any way to know the mind of God, but Scripture does give us some clues. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 3, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day." And again, Paul writes, according to the Scriptures. Because, you see, the Scriptures are full of third day stories. In Genesis chapter 42, Joseph's brothers are put in prison and they're released on the third day. In Joshua chapter 2, the spies were hidden by Rahab and they found safety on the third day. In Esther chapter 5, Esther fasts and she prays for her people, and it was on the third day that the king received her petition and invited her to come to him. And then all the way back to Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham goes to sacrifice his son, Isaac, it's on the third day that he sees the substitute that will take Isaac's place. So there's this pattern, this recurring pattern in Scripture of these third day stories. In fact, the prophet Hosea writes this, "Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces. And after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us." So all of these third day stories follow this similar pattern. On the first day, there is trouble, calamity. On the third day, there is deliverance from that trouble and calamity. But there is a second day, a day in between, a Saturday, that is just a day of waiting, a day of waiting in the trouble. Now, we can see the pattern and we can know the pattern, but here's the problem. When do you know you're in a third day story? So you don't know it's a third day story until the third day comes. But most of the story you live through the second day. It's not until you've been delivered. And in the meantime, you're in Saturday and you're waiting and you're experiencing the trouble. This is a really bad example in terms of the weight of the example, but I think it will communicate something to some of us. And that's the Chicago Cubs. Cubs fans lived over 100 years of a two-day story, over 100 years of waiting through the Saturday. They waited and their hope was crushed over and over and over. And it seemed that to a lot of Cubs fans that they were going to spend an eternal Saturday waiting. They didn't know it was a third day story until they finally won the World Series. And again, that's all fun and games. That's baseball. But we all, during our time on this earth, live through what seems like 2 day stories. And we're living through that kind of story now. We're living through a Saturday right now. The initial shock has worn off. The initial determination to have a good attitude and to make the best of it is beginning to wane. And now we're in the reality that what we are living for is a new reality. Excuse me, what we're living through is a new reality. That people in our own area are beginning to be sick and to die. Sheltering in place isn't just a 2 week vacation. It's the new normal. And we wonder, how long is this going to last? See, we're experiencing the trouble and the agony of Friday into Saturday. We call out to God. We ask him to hear us. We ask him to help us. And then we wait. That's all that we can do. We wait through the silence of Saturday. And Saturday seems to go on forever and ever. Will Saturday ever end? And now, in addition to the pain, there's also the pain of what feels like the silence of God. C.S. Lewis, a great Christian author, Christian thinker, wrote a book called Surprised by Joy. C.S. Lewis was a reluctant convert to Christianity, and he was very genuinely surprised at the joy that he experienced in the Lord once he gave his life to Christ. He was also a confirmed bachelor, and it wasn't until later in his life that he met and married a woman named Joy, and his friends loved to give him a hard time and say that he actually was surprised by Joy. But it wasn't a marriage that lasted long. She developed cancer, and he took care of her and watched her pass away. And out of that experience, he wrote another book called A Grief Observed. I want to read to you something that he wrote. When you're happy, so happy, you have no sense of needing God. So happy, you're tempted to feel his claims upon you are an interruption. If you remember yourself and turn to him with gratitude and praise, you will be welcomed with open arms. But go to him when your need is desperate. When all other help is vain, what do you find? A door slammed in your face, a sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside, and after that, silence. You may as well turn away. The wait is meant to be longer. That's C.S. Lewis's experience of grief, experience of Saturday, of waiting. That sounds like a psalm that David could have written, but that was Lewis's grief. And I wonder what Saturday is like for you. The Saturday of sheltering in place alone. The Saturday of sheltering in place with your kids who are beginning to drive you crazy. The Saturday of sheltering in place with someone you love but who really is just starting to get on your nerves. The Saturday of being stuck in your house, out of routine. The Saturday of being afraid that you are going to get the virus, or even worse, afraid that you're going to give someone the virus. The Saturday of grieving the loss of more normality. The Saturday of missing people. The Saturday of worrying about your financial future. The Saturday of wondering when you'll get back to your job and if there will even be a job. The Saturday of realizing that as Americans, we're actually not immune after all to what the rest of the world experiences. Dan Bushell, who has spoken for us on several occasions, has the wisdom of a realist, and he wrote this on social media this week. God is shaking what can be shaken, and he will redeem this somehow. But what comes next will only follow great birth pains. And there really is a wisdom to that. That is a reality. He's sensing what I'm beginning to sense this week, that we know things are going to turn out all right, but when is that going to happen? And what is that going to look like? And in the meantime, the reality is hitting that this is going to be painful. People are dying. Life is disrupted. And that's Saturday. We're all living through a Saturday. But Saturday comes for folks in other ways too. The Saturday of a marriage falling apart and you don't know what to do about it. The Saturday of an illness or a diagnosis or a disease. The Saturday of watching a child that you love just making really devastating decisions. John Ortberg, another Christian author, wrote about a Saturday that he went through. And he says that he went to a trusted mentor and he wanted to talk through this with him. And after spilling his story and after the mentor listening, the mentor turned to him and said, "This will be a test of your joyful confidence in the Lord." John Ortberg said that was not at all what he was expecting to hear. It's not what he wanted to hear. He wanted to hear words of comfort. He wanted to hear everything's going to be okay. It's all going to turn out all right. But he said, as time went on, and upon further reflection, he discovered that those words were some of the truest and deepest words that anyone had ever spoken to him. Because Saturday really is a test of your joyful confidence in the Lord. Do you believe that as bad as this suffering is, do you believe that as long as this Saturday is, do you believe that God's joy is so vast that Sunday will come and you can endure Saturday? Can you hang through a two-day story until the third day? Now, this is the way Dan ended his post. He said, "Don't lose hope. There is always a larger story unfolding." And that's the story of the gospel. That's the story that we find ourselves in, a larger story. That's why we love Easter. That's what gets us through Friday and gets us through Saturday. is we know there's a larger story and Sunday is coming. And so when suffering comes, and it is coming, it has come, there are basically two ways that most folks deal with suffering. The first one is to despair and to really think that nothing good is ever going to happen. A second way is to deny. I find myself doing this one, and that is just to say that nothing bad is going to happen. And throughout human history, people have dealt with all kinds of Saturdays by despairing and by denying. But there is another way. There's a third way. And it's to wait. It's to wait on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord has nothing to do with passivity or inactivity. Waiting on the Lord means that whatever I have to do through this Saturday, I do it with the Lord. I wait on the Lord. I work with the Lord. I rest with the Lord. I complain to the Lord. I learn from the Lord. I wait. And I'll tell you a secret. You can be with God on Saturday in a way that you cannot be with Him on any other day. Because on Saturday, one thing becomes crystal clear, and that is that you have no other hope but God. And on Saturday, you know, in a way that normal life seems to disguise, that you are really not in control of anything, that either God will come through or all is lost. Henry Nouwen, another great Christian author, he wrote about a family of trapeze artists that he met and befriended in his later years, and he was fascinated by their life and by what they did, and he learned that among trapeze artists, there are two kinds of people. There are flyers and there are catchers. Now, most folks think that the flyers are the stars. They're graceful, they're thrilling to watch as they fly through the air, but among trapeze artists, the real stars are the catchers. Because a flyer can look beautiful in flight, but if the catcher doesn't catch, none of it matters. And so the flyer launches out into the unknown with outstretched arms, trusting that the catcher with strong arms will catch. And on Saturday, we wonder if God will catch us. We wonder how our flight into what is the unknown will end. And to answer that, Jesus came down from heaven, put on flesh, dwelled among us, and entered into the human experience. It's the beautiful thing about Jesus. He steps into our Saturdays. He stepped into the human experience. Scripture says it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer. It was necessary because it was through his suffering that he was going to bring salvation. But it was also necessary because it was through his suffering that he related to us and understands what it's like for us. When asked for a sign about who he was and what he was doing, Jesus referenced another third day story. He referenced the story of Jonah. Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a great fish. And Jesus said, so would the Messiah spend 3 days in the belly of the earth. And so the sign of Jonah is a gift to us, a reminder that Jesus has entered into our experience, that Friday had come, that Sunday is coming, but that meanwhile there is a Saturday. So another question I wonder about is, how did Jesus spend that Saturday? And from the Apostles' Creed, we know that the Orthodox teaching of the early church was that after Jesus was buried, he descended into hell. And that thought comes from 1 Peter chapter 3:18. Peter writes this, he, talking about Jesus, he was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah. Now, I'll be, again, very honest with you. I don't know that I fully understand what that passage means, but I think that it means something like this, that Jesus will go to any length and Jesus will go to any place for anybody. I want you to hear me say that again. Jesus will go to any length and he will go to any place to save anybody. And that's what the universe longs for. That while the universe, while all creation waited on Saturday, salvation was being accomplished. And I want you to hear me say this. God is still working through your Saturday to accomplish your salvation. God is still working through every Saturday that you experience and wait through to accomplish your salvation. So whatever your Saturday is, whatever your pain is, whatever your regret is, whatever your heartache is, whatever your anxiety is, whatever and however long your wait is, Jesus will enter the hell of Saturday with you. And he'll bring you through and he'll accomplish your salvation because Sunday is coming. If we were all together in one place, this is a point in the service where I would ask our prayer teams to take their place. And I'd invite you to go and pray with someone and share with them the weight of your Saturday. We can't do that. So what I'm going to do is commission all of you to be a prayer team. Wherever you're sitting, whatever you're doing, you're now on the prayer team. And I want us to go to God on behalf of each other. Would you join me in prayer? Father, Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for Friday. I thank you for Saturday. And I thank you for Sunday. I thank you that on Friday you suffered and bled. You were broken and you died for us. And I thank you that on Sunday you were raised into life. You were resurrected and that you're alive to this day. But I also thank you for Saturday. I thank you for the day in between. I thank you that on that day you were accomplishing salvation. Father, I pray for folks in our family, for folks who are watching and listening, who are really feeling the weight of Saturday right now. Feeling the weight of despair, of anxiety, of worry, and who are experiencing what it is to wait through a Saturday. Father, I pray that you would be gentle and compassionate, that you would comfort, that you would give your presence, that you'd let folks know they're not alone. I pray that you would heal and you would take care of folks who are sick, who are in pain, who are scared and lonely. Father, I pray that just like you are represented in Scripture so often, that you would support us with your strong right arm, but you would also care for us with your gentle hands. We need your strength and we need your compassion, Lord, as we wait through this Saturday. And Lord, at this time, I want to ask that you would put a name on the heart and on the mind of every person who's listening or watching, that you would put a name on their heart and mind of someone that you want them to reach out to and to minister to. Father, again, we thank you. We love you. We thank you for entering into this life with us, for not leaving us alone and floundering on our own, but for coming and for saving us. And as we literally wait for Easter next week, then also, Father, we just wait for your coming. We give you thanks through Jesus Christ. Amen.